You're listening to a message from Hope Central in Adelaide, South Australia. If you'd like to know more about Hope Central or any of our ministries, please visit hopecentral.org.au.
The remnant. Ever felt like you're part of something large that over time has somehow become small? You were part of something big, maybe a family, a school, a club, or even a church. You belong to a critical mass, but something has happened. Now you feel small. Is this feeling because of you, or are there other forces at work? Has your momentum been lost because your life has somehow become smaller? Maybe you feel like you can't make a difference anymore. There seems to be so many options and distractions. Our life goes on, even though our mission has seemed to change. Either way, our life is about what remains. If you are watching this, you are part of a remnant. You are part of something that remains while other things have not. I want to encourage you today. You are a miracle. You may feel small, but God is into small. There are lots of references in the Bible about small things making a big impact. Mustard seeds. Yeast. See, yeast strengthens the dough and builds tolerance for the baking process. The yeast helps the bread rise better and add volume. It permeates, modifies, transforms the bread. Yeast is alive. It sleeps. It grows. Galatians 5:9 says, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Do you need to build some more tolerance and strength? Are you flat? Have you lost your voice or your way? What are you going to do through this next season to reshape you? Are you going to latch on to an experience? A purpose or a cause? Pottery. Pottery is amazing. You may feel insignificant, but if you are prepared to be pulled apart, stretched, reshaped in the potter's hands, if you're prepared to lay down your life, you can be something amazing. Are you prepared to go into the kiln? That heat is what shapes you. It's the fire that makes you into something strong. You can be part of something unique that God has shaped. Have you got some rough edges or parts that don't seem to belong? Foreign objects found in clay can bring uniqueness. Are you prepared to be back in the potter's hand? What are you going to do as a remnant? Why does God work with remnants? A remnant is a small minority of people who will remain faithful to God and so be saved. Have you ever wondered, where did all the people go? I don't mean today, I mean the people you did church with. I taught Sunday school for years. I ran youth groups. I prayed with people who got saved in church. I'm not talking about the people that change churches. I'm talking about the people
who cried up the front, said, "Jesus, pick me." Then they walk away. When I worked at a school, I led two mums to church who gave their lives to Jesus. I discipled them, became their friends, did small groups with them, spent time with their family, and then they walked away. It was so disappointing. Did I do something wrong? Is this normal? Yes. Why do people walk away from their faith? Matthew 7:13 to 14 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The wide gate, you see, is easy. It's where the crowd goes. It's where your free will goes. The narrow gate is hard, but leads to life. See, God's plan is always through a small group of people. It seems to almost be a necessary part of his plan. Romans 11:5 says, "At the present time, he chose a remnant chosen by grace." Acts 15:17 says that the remnant of mankind will seek the Lord. Although the church is a remnant, it is destined to succeed. We are all a light on a hill, but not a hill. We are all yeast in the dough, but not the dough. We are all salt in the earth, but not the earth, says Dr. Ken Chan. We are small, but what we do matters. We are required to do the right thing. The remnant of Israel will do no unrighteous, nor speak lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they will feed and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. You see, spiritual maturity, after all, isn't about how much you know, but who you know. See, knowing God removes fear. Being the remnant means working on the relationship. So why do we stick to God? Why do we stick to anyone, really? It's relationship. We need to work on our relationship goals with God. Matthew 7:21 to 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers.'" You see, God is not a brand. He wants relationship with you. We need to be careful that we do not lose the relationship because of all the information and the noise. The question for us is, what is happening to the church? Listening to Kerry Newhoff, he talks about the church having a sense of attending is no longer even relevant. See, the problem is we are drowning in options, too much access to world content. See, with all this information, we still need to cling on to the main reason we gather with the church is because we are the church. You don't attend church, you are the church. See, being locked down has caused a change of habit, hasn't it? Attending church is not about following the crowd or just coming out of habit. It's a deliberate choice to re-engage. Being the church is living your life for Christ, demonstrating God's love by serving others and sharing your faith with people. The reason you should go to church today is that you've moved from being an absolute just attender, consumer, to being a contributor. See, church is about giving far more than it's about getting. You see, our culture is ripe for an alternative to consuming. Consumption is an empty pit that you will never fill. People become the most passionate about the things which they're involved in. It's not about consumption, it's about involvement. So why engagement is the new measure and not church attendance anymore?
Authentic relationship, authentic discipleship, has always been about dying to self. This is what we look for at Hope Central. We now look at people who commit to these things. This is what we measure: regular prayer, which is just talking to God, Bible reading, which is hearing from God, sticking to one church for the long game, and regular church attendance. The other thing we like to consider as taking things into account is giving your time, giving your money, giving yourself. Build relationships with people. This is the hard part, but it's what we measure. See, the remnant are the disciples, people who are working it out rather than giving it up. Jesus commanded us to make disciples, but there comes with a warning: messy church is inevitable. New or immature Christians can be swayed by powerful personalities, still be sexually active outside of marriage, have questionable business practices, end up in broken homes, broken families, be too swayed by culture, or not know how to conduct themselves in church. They also might doubt core doctrines like the resurrection. And guess what? That's the Corinthian church. That's not even our church. Remember, gathering together was Jesus' idea, not ours, but it can be messy. You see, our future here will be built on Christians who want to serve, who want to share and engage in the mission of the local church. Acts 2:42-46 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common." Wow. So next year, we will be focusing on devotion, discipleship, and development. Can you, small as you are, or Hope Central, as small as it is, make a difference? Just want to remind you of a story that's in Judges 6 and 7. And it's the story of God's people being under immense scrutiny and pressure, being persecuted by the Midianites. God searches out a guy who's hiding in a wine press, treading grain. The angel of God speaks to this guy and says, "Mighty warrior," and tells him that God is with him. He says, "Pardon me, my Lord." Funny response. "Where are all God's wonders that we heard about?" he asked the angel. And God tells him to go in strength and save his people. He argues, "My clan are weak. I am weak." Great response. He pulls together an army to fight his enemy. And God says, "I think this group is too big for your victory to become my miracle." So God helps Gideon to choose just 300 men based on how they drink from a stream. He miraculously defeats this massive army because God is into small. We are not too small for God to work through. The remnant are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The solution is the remnant being activated by the Holy Spirit. He connects our hearts to Jesus. You may be familiar with Acts 2. The Holy Spirit came on a group of people. Well, first of all, they were just sitting in a room together, in one place. They heard a really loud noise, like a strong wind. They saw what looked like fire rest on each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. They got loud. It was 9 a.m. They got so loud as they prayed, they built up a crowd. And in verse 17, we see Peter stood and spoke to the crowd that gathered and said, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." If that was the last days and that was over 2,000 years ago, what time are we in now? See, the Holy Spirit is for us too. So the highlight reel of that story is 3,000 people got saved in one hit. What will stop you from feeling small is actually the Holy Spirit. Do you know him? Do you need him? Do you need more of him? I want to encourage you to call out to the Holy Spirit today. He says that he will pour himself into you. So let me ask you this. What was the group in the story doing? They were sitting, waiting, most likely praying, because they knew that Jesus said the Holy Spirit was coming. See, the Holy Spirit is what makes the remnant come alive. He pours his Spirit out onto all people. That's a generous amount. It's not a small amount. And remember, your kids will prophesy. Prophetic words speak life. Visions bring hope. Dreams inspire. The Holy Spirit is what makes the remnant powerful. It makes something beautiful. We are a broken piece of clay that can be made beautiful by the pouring of the Holy Spirit, which is a binding agent. And when you put all those beautiful pieces together, you can end up with something like this. That could be you. You could be part of something beautiful. And that's what the church is. It's a vessel for people to know Jesus. Can I just encourage you? Don't let this message, this talk about the Holy Spirit, this looking at the story of Acts or story of Gideon, just escape you. Take some time. Go over it. Have a think about how that message still applies today. Thanks for listening. Let me just pray for you as we close. Lord Jesus, I know you can work through this message in any time or place. I pray that you speak into the lives of people, that they can feel your presence, they can breathe in your presence, and they can seek you and your Spirit. Lord, we are all broken, and it is you through your Spirit that makes us whole. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Hope Central in Adelaide, South Australia. If you want more information about who we are, visit us at hopecentral.org.au or join us for Sunday worship at any of our three campuses.